What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, FightfulSelect.com. It is time for the backstage report. Let's get right into it because we have a ton of news. Carlos Toro, who you guys might remember from Fightful, has an interview that we set up with La Rosa Negra going up. It's going to be in Spanish, but he has translated it to English. We'll have the full transcript out soon, but she said that she has reached out to All Elite Wrestling personally about coming in and doing some work with the company, but is waiting to hear back. But what she has heard plenty about is Tessa Blanchard in the past. Yeah, so that situation is still a very sensitive topic for obvious reasons, and Tessa Blanchard has still not found work in wrestling as a result of this situation and some others. La Rosa Negra said that she struck Tessa Blanchard after being spit on, said that the heat was real, the situation was real, but it did help her learn how to heal. She noted that she doesn't really care about what Tessa Blanchard does, but said that she approached Tessa at WrestleCade and said that she forgave Blanchard and didn't want to hold a grudge. Now, this would have been before news of the situation emerged. WrestleCade was in November in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, November 2019, to specify. And this information all emerged in January 2020. So this would have went down before all that and before Tessa won the title. She does not want an apology from Tessa Blanchard, as she said it was too late for that and that she's already moved on, meaning that Tessa's already moved on and denied it and said that it didn't happen. We'll have, again, that transcript up fully this week. Bad Bunny, man, I've got a lot of news on Bad Bunny that's going to drop over the next week or so, but he was a gigantic merchandise hit. At one point last week, Bad Bunny had held all four of the top four merch-selling spots in WWE, with his very popularly received shirts taking spots 1, 3, and 4, and then the pullover hoodie version at number 2. This drove over 500,000 in sales to WWE and Bad Bunny as a result. At the time we got the information, the only other person in the top five was Roman Reigns. And even then, the number 5 spot did about 65% of the sales of the number 4 seller and less than 5% of the top seller. To say that this relationship has worked out already would be a massive understatement. Well, Bad Bunny had a part in the Royal Rumble, and we've got just a ton of Royal Rumble news. We learned there were numerous names planned for the Royal Rumble that ended up having to be pulled from the match. Jey Uso was advertised for it before being pulled and was not at the January 31st episode of WWE SmackDown and was quietly pulled from that graphic. So we were also told that Keith Lee and Robert Roode were supposed to compete in the match as of several weeks before, but ended up being pulled and unable to compete. They have both since returned to action. We've heard more about the the plans that didn't end up happening. Changes to the match. There was a pitch to have Ricochet come out late in the match before that was changed. So there had to be some adjustment there. Also, there was a spot pitched where Retribution would be surrounding the ring, like three sides of the ring, and helping out Ali. That did not end up happening, but a similar spot with Omos did. For those that were curious about Buddy Murphy before he popped up on SmackDown, just watching stuff happen, he was slated as a Royal Rumble alternate. In addition, we're told that Cedric Alexander was set for that role as well. Montez Ford was at the venue for the Royal Rumble, but we were not told that he was listed internally as an alternate. He was not there prepared or anything like that. We've heard nothing about whether or not Andrade was in the building, but we can confirm he was not listed as an alternate. WWE has some big signings. Christian Casanova has signed a WWE deal and will be a part of the upcoming WWE Performance Center class. He's a 7-year pro who WWE has had their eye on for quite a while. Based out of the Northeast, the current Limitless Wrestling champion has worked for Beyond, GCW, and Evolve. We are told WWE has started to resume signings as usual after slowing it down a little bit during the pandemic. That includes the new LA Knight, Eli Drake. He was backstage at NXT on Wednesday and then popped up on Sunday. I hadn't heard the news until Sunday afternoon, and I was working to confirm it when he popped up talking to Sam Roberts, Wade Barrett and Brandon Walker. In addition to Christian Casanova, Fightful's learned that WWE has signed another indie standout in Blake Christian. Speculation of the signing was fueled recently when he lost a career versus title match in Game Changer Wrestling. But in addition to a surging indie career, Christian has been working for Impact Wrestling of late, although he was not at last week's taping. He did have an impressive Super X Cup run, and he was working New Japan Strong, a highly touted indie name that has emerged very, very quickly. Speaking of Impact Wrestling, it was announced this weekend that the team of Finn Juice, David Finley, and Juice Robinson would be coming to Impact. Obviously, this further bridges the gap between Impact Wrestling and New Japan. Robinson has been in the States at least since New Year, I believe, and Fightful had heard they would be coming in as of 2 weeks ago, but were unable to get a second confirmation. We were told that they were at the most recent set of Impact tapings, though. Somebody who was not was Sammy Guevara. So let's talk about this. I'll let you know what I do know, what I don't know, all that stuff. So we followed up on the Sammy Guevara AEW story, but I'm going to keep it to what I know happened and with who. I do not know if he has heat with Chris Jericho or Tony Khan. I don't know if Chris Jericho told Impact to not book him. I don't know who specifically had issues with creative. The rumor was that Sammy Guevara wanted to do things a little bit differently, and was planned to have a programmer match with Ace Austin. However, at the time, the talent scheduled had not been identified when I heard. This was last week. So I didn't know it was Sammy until Sunday when that report dropped that said, Sammy Guevara, he's got heat. I didn't know who it was. I just knew an AEW wrestler was supposed to come in last week and was told, oh, by the way, we didn't see any AEW wrestlers there. Is everything okay? Et cetera, et cetera. And so I started to poke around a little bit. Now, Guevara leaving Daly's place in Dynamite was supposed to set up these quickly planned appearances on Impact. But it might be a little while before we see an in-ring integration. Because based on what I could find, I don't think any AEW wrestlers were there. Now, they could always add stuff in post. They did that with Kenny Omega in the past. And they have plenty of New Japan people coming in to create that buzz as well. But, yeah, there were no indications to me that the relationship between Impact Wrestling and AEW was a bad one right now, or that it got hurt significantly. I'm sure it was an inconvenience, but I mean, I've talked to people on both sides of this now, and they didn't seem to think that this was anything that out of expectation for this type of working relationship. Like, that's going to happen sometimes. I'm going to work to find more. I tried to reach out to Sammy Guevara personally, did not hear back, but I'll do my best. But yes, as of last week, I had heard an AEW wrestler was supposed to come into Impact Wrestling, but there were problems with the creative and they didn't come. When I would ask Impact wrestlers, oh, well, I heard he was in Nashville and got sent back home. They're like, we didn't see him. I don't think he came into Nashville. That's how kept apart it was. But by the time the weekend rolled around, I think enough people in Impact had found out that it was Sammy that they ended up finding out, or getting it confirmed with Impact that it was them. I know that a lot of wrestlers in Impact got kayfabed when this all started, but it was for a good reason, that being the AEW relationship. So yeah, I know what I just said was a word soup and a mess, and I apologize for that, but it's a word soup and a mess of a situation, for sure. Matt Cardona spoke to him for a new interview, as many of you have seen. He confirmed to us that his original WWE contract was going to be up in August of 2010, and he had told us before that he had passed on signing a new deal in 2019. So what this means is, when he got released in April, they had to pay him into May, June, July. They basically just shaved a month off of his contract. Several of those released names from 10 months ago were people who had voiced creative frustration or not signed new deals or had asked for their releases in the past, and Matt Cardona is one of them. Well, I also talked to Dominic Guarini. He indicated to us that the multi-year deal he's under with MLW is actually a three-year contract, which would put him under contract through September 2022. Guarini told us that MSL reached out to him first, and when he was weighing his options about his future in late 2019, he reached out to BJ Whitmer, who is now in AEW, and he was then too. And Whitmer advised him to go to MLW and assess where his career is in 3 years, which is what he ended up doing. And Greeny said that during the pandemic, he was out of work during his day job, and Court Bauer would reach out to him and go over things weekly, talking MLW's plans and strategies. And one of those strategies will unfold this Wednesday, Filthy Island. I know it sounds like a plug, but that's why we did the damn interview. So those of you who aren't familiar with the UFC, UFC did Fight Island, and they had made it seem like they were going to this island, and they were going to have fights on the beach, and they had promoted with this cage on the beach and all that. And then when you get there and you watch the show, it is not that. And Dominic Greeny, like I, big MMA fan. And I felt like such a stupid casual when I was like, oh man, really? They're not doing fights on the beach? But that's how they made it sound. That's how they made it sound. And Dom Greeny felt the same way. So he says that they wanted to make sure they didn't sell the fans a bill of goods with Filthy Island, which is the sort of a parody of Fight Island by name and how it's set up with sponsors falling out and all that stuff. It seems like a little bit of a mix between Fire Festival and Fight Island, which I kind of dig. So I'm excited to check that out. It's going to be no ropes as well, from what he told me. I can't remember if that was announced last week, but very excited about Filthy Island. I thought it was a really fun approach. Oh, we've got so many updates, contract updates. Zelina Vega, her no-compete is up as of February 11th. Blake Christian Casanova, Harlem Bravado, Eli Drake, and Taya have all signed with WWE. Eli Drake is now known as LA Knight. Don't think he's going to be a part of the PC class that they reveal. I'd be shocked if Taya is either. Over in Ring of Honor, they re-signed Sledge, Dragon Lee, Roosh, Bestia Del Ring, Slex, and Kenny King. So they shored up a lot of names there. Some of their deals had come up at the end of the year, some of them at the end of January as well. In Active's report, Kofi Kingston is back in action. He wrestled last week. Wesley Blake has been off TV since early January, and obviously his tag team partner was released. Braun Strowman revealed that he had an infection after the Royal Rumble and has been out of action. That's a bummer because he had missed some time before that. Mickey James has not wrestled since the Royal Rumble. Same with Jinder Mahal and the Superstar Spectacle. Same with Indus Cher and Superstar Spectacle. As far as we know, Indus Cher, Mickey James, and Jinder Mahal are all healthy and they're good to go, but they do not have immediate plans for them, it would appear. Mike Bennett returned to action at an indie event after suffering a hairline fracture in his foot. Cameron Grimes had missed 4 to 6 weeks. Well, he's back and better than ever. I love this storyline with Cameron Grimes. Juice Robinson had broken his orbital bone in December, but he is set for those Impact shows. So it's good to see the man back. I'm so happy to see him back. He was a big loss to Ring of Honor when they didn't get to hang on to him, I thought. So Impact getting him, that's very good news. That's good news for all involved, I would say. So I didn't do an NXT TakeOver review last night because I did the watch-along on Fightful Scraps. I had had to do a read on the post-show, and then I had to do the Triple H call. So I wanted to give you guys my thoughts on NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day because that's what I'm usually doing over here. I'm usually doing these AEW and NXT reviews over here. It was hard to follow those first three matches. I mean, individually and collectively. When Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez had that performance against Shotzi and Ember, all four of those women went banana crazy. I was like, okay, I'm sure Johnny and Kushida can do it. And they did it. And then it's like, okay, how are MSK and Grizzled Young Veterans going to follow this? Well, they did it. I didn't quite think the women's title match did as much. Or Balor and Dunn. But Dakota and Raquel need to be the tag team champions. Raquel Gonzalez is a phenom. And Dakota Kai is fantastic too. The fact that Dakota Kai is willing to play second banana, so to speak, to Raquel's ascension right now speaks a lot to her experience and how giving she is there, because she could be having an ascent of her own right now. And is with Raquel. I want to see them as tag team champions. Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart, wouldn't mind seeing them as a tag team more often. I would like to see the loose affiliations among the NXT women, and really women all over the place. They can be a tag team, but they can wrestle singles too. AEW does that with almost everybody. Almost everybody's got a tag team partner. So do it with the women too, because you've got that flexibility to do that. The Raquel Powerbomb, amazing. Dakota Kai, every time she does the chiropractor, I'm amazed by it. This was incredible. Raquel's one-arm choke slam powerbomb had a last ride feel to it. Johnny and Kushida, just when I think Johnny has done it all, like in the ring, they go out and they have this crazy match. I love the pins and the transitions out of the double wrist lock. I thought those were just amazing. They started off slow with some faster paced chain wrestling. This wasn't like NXT TV. You're getting the 5 minutes of slow chain wrestling, then you're going into a commercials type of stuff. This was fast paced chain wrestling that went into some bigger spots, that went into some high spots, that went back into submissions and pins. Johnny getting the win over a guy who just keeps winning over and over again, like Kushida. That's good for him. I loved it. This was an amazing match. And I was like, oh, well, it's not going to get any better than this. Okay, well, then MSK and Grizzled Young Veterans did it. My God. By the way, Grizzled Young Veterans were supposed to win last year, but the Broserweights, they kind of stepped up and got super over. MSK are unreal. Now, Triple H said that he gave them a little bit of an opportunity, and they just took it, and they made the best of it, and showed how good they were, and said everybody likes them. Grizzled Young Veterans give me hope for the tag team division. They very, very much give me hope. These two teams specifically. NXT could not have planned for over half of their Dusty Rhodes Classic field from last year to be out of the country almost all year. They could not have planned for that. That's unfortunate. I wish they had a better tag team division last year. It wasn't in the cards. It's in the cards now. I want to see some good tag team wrestling like we saw here, because holy crap, MSK and Grizzled Young Veterans put on. Again, the pace was incredible, and that's what you got to do in a tag team match with these people, and especially on a show like this. MSK have me just like going overnight. Okay, they are perfect fits for NXT. And I mean, I covered the Impact show while they were there. I've been to Impact shows that they've been at, and it connects even better here. What a great performance. Io, Tony, and Mercedes, they had a good match. The unfortunate situation where the wind like blew apart the table, that sucked. That's unfortunate. That's a bummer. But Triple H said, or when I asked him, he told me that he wished they could have had that back, but they adjusted really, really well. They had a window for 20 minutes for this match, and they only ended up using about 12 or 13, and that's what they wanted. They wanted the match to go about this length and things to go like this. Some really, really good spots. The Meteora, the Spider Suplex, Io Shirai's jump off of the lighting rig were all really, really good. But this, like, out of the five matches, I'd be like, yeah, this is the one that you could have passed on, but still a very good match. Pete Dunne and Finn Balor, NXT title, Balor wins. It felt like they cycled through some of the same spots, like some of the same kicks and finger spots and all that stuff. And I get it, you're working the fingers. But when you've got Finn Balor putting his hands on the ground so Finn Balor or so Pete Dunne can jump on them, that does not jive with me. It doesn't work. However, towards the end, when you're doing bitter ends and you're countering the bitter end and you got the 1916 and you go into like Bloody Sunday and the coup de grace, like they were getting me with some of those near falls. They were very good. The end that saw Adam Cole come out and make the save, or Undisputed Era come out and make the save, then super kick Finn Balor as it looked like he was joining Undisputed Era, then super kicking Kyle O'Reilly, that's good. I need that. I need more story. Because Balor and Dunn was built up, I've said it over and over again. Oh, you broke your jaw. I'm going to break your jaw. And I'm going to win that title. Yeah, I'm a cat. I got kitty litter. What? All right, I'm ready to see some story. I'm ready to see some intrigue here, and I think they're going to bring it. Guys, thank you all so much for joining the Backstage Report. Until next time, we're out.